Do you get frustrated when things don't always go your way? Well, on today's show, I'll tell you why that's not necessarily a bad thing. Stay tuned, it's coming right up. Hey there, welcome to the program. My name is Gary Zimek. I'm going to be hanging out here for the next 30 minutes, and I hope you'll join me as well. Thanks for stopping by. Lots of good stuff on the show today. We're going to talk about how when things don't go our way, that's sometimes not a bad thing. And generally, the Lord can work with that. And that's going to be from The Imitation of Christ, from Thomas A. Kempis, from this great spiritual book. That's not me saying it. That's somebody knows who what he's talking about. So we're going to look at that in the second part of the program. The first part of the show will be devoted to looking at the daily mass readings for Tuesday of the 18th week in Ordinary Time. Hope you're doing well. And you know, the gospel today is amazing. The gospel is one of those that I use frequently when I go out and speak at churches around the country. It's a great one. So we'll talk about that. Hope you had a good day today. It's a nice day here in southern New Jersey. We had some rain early this morning, but it's looking pretty good out there. Sunny as I tape this show right now. It's sunny out there now. It looks pretty good. Beverage du jour today is a cup of Mystic Monk decaf coffee. Here we go. I know you didn't expect the beverage du jour so early in the show, but you know, I try to mix it up sometimes. I try to keep it, spontaneous. That's it, spontaneous. That's what I try to do on this program. I had an interesting experience today. I upgraded the operating system on my iPhone. You know, you may or may not know this, but for 30 years of my life, I was a software developer. That's what I did. So I'm a computer guy. And one of the things, it's kind of funny, I don't know if it goes with the occupation or it's because I'm just, I don't know what it is. I think it's because I've seen so many things go wrong. I always get nervous upgrading anything, any software upgrades, because you always expect something to go wrong, and very often it does. Well, fortunately, somehow this operating system upgrade, which I put off doing for a long time, went relatively smoothly. So I'm very happy about that. But, you know, computers can be great until they don't work. I mean, I don't know what we would do without them. When I think back, it's amazing how far we've come, but it can be so frustrating when technology doesn't work. I also sent out an email today, an e-blast to anyone who is on my email list about the Malvern Retreat House, the retreat I'm going to be leading in a few weeks. Pray, hope, and don't worry. It's going to be August 14th through August the 16th. You still have time to register for the retreat. If you're interested, please see my website, followingthetruth.com, for more information. It's looking good. I'm in the process of putting together the 5 talks that I'll be giving. Got lots of good stuff at this retreat. I'm going to give 5 talks. I'll have my books available. We're going to do faith sharing. We're going to have adoration. We'll have confession. There's going to be a priest available for confession and for daily mass. And we'll have all kinds of great food and get to hang out together for the weekend at a beautiful retreat facility located outside of the city of Philadelphia. So if you are interested, please visit followingthetruth.com and click on the image for the Pray, Hope, and Don't Worry retreat. And I really hope to be able to see you there. I also finalized my visit to Carencro, Louisiana, which is in the Diocese of Lafayette. I'm going to be there on December the 1st through the 3rd of this year, leading a parish mission. So I hope you'll be able to come out. If you're in the area, it's going to be great. It's going to be about having a personal relationship with Jesus. And in addition, we're going to be filming it, by the way. We're going to be filming it for a DVD release. So that's kind of cool. I'm working on securing a talk in the Baton Rouge, Louisiana area as well, but that's not final yet. The Carencro deal, we sealed that today. That's a done deal. We're working on Baton Rouge, so stay tuned. Neil and Cindy, if you're listening, I'm working on it. I'm really trying to get there. It looks like it's going to happen, but we have to come up with the specifics, so stay tuned. And of course, if you're in the Birmingham area, I will be headed to Birmingham, Alabama, in August the 19th, I believe it is. Yes, August the 19th, giving a talk on total consecration to Jesus through Mary. I'm going to be down there for a taping. We're going to be taping 5 episodes with Jeanette Bankovic. So while I'm in the area, I'm going to give a talk at Our Lady of Sorrows Parish. More details can be found at followingthetruth.com. The talk is free. There is no admission charge, so stop on by if you're in the area. I would love to see you. Okay, one quick reminder that tomorrow morning at 6:35 a.m. Eastern Time, I'll be on the Sunrise Morning Show on EWTN Radio doing my weekly Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled segment. So I hope you could stop by for that. Got a good Bible verse picked out for you. It's one that will help you to experience peace in your life. So Sunrise Morning Show tomorrow morning, 6:35 a.m. Eastern Time on the EWTN Radio Network. All right, I'm going to take one more sip of my coffee. Now let's get right to our prayer, and then we'll look at the daily mass readings. Okay, let's go. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us another day. We're very grateful for the fact that you allow us to live in this life, on this earth, and that you haven't given up on us yet. Thank you for allowing us that opportunity. Father, we ask you to use us for whatever you would like. Help us to advance your kingdom on earth. Please give us the strength that we need to be able to do that. Help us show your love to all of those around us. Father, we ask you to help the sick, help the lonely, help the anxious, help those who are struggling with doubt or despair, any kind of an addiction, with any financial difficulties, with religious persecution. Father, we also ask you to bless our priests, our religious, our deacons, and please increase vocations. Please help all of us with our own personal needs and intentions, and please use me this day on the program to speak your message and allow our minds and our hearts to be receptive to your message. And Father, we ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almost forgot. I got distracted for a minute. Let's turn to our Blessed Mother Mary. And let's ask her to intercede for us. Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us. And good Saint Joseph, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. You know, here's what happens. I get distracted sometimes. I wish I didn't. We've got a lot going on here with the program. Sometimes I just get a little distracted about what's going on. So, Blessed Mother, I'm sorry. I'm sorry we forgot you. But it can happen. Know that it happens to me too, right? Not just to you. We can all get distracted from time to time. If you need more information about anything we discuss on the program, please email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. If you would like me to come out and speak to your parish, I would love to do so. You can find out the info at followingthetruth.com, or just email me at gary@followingthetruth.com, and we could talk about the details. I'm currently working on setting up some engagements for 2016, so if you'd like me to come out anytime. We also could do some dates in 2015, too. So you let me know when you'd like me to be there, and I'm going to be there, all right? I would love to be able to visit your town to bring the good news of Jesus Christ to your parishioners. Okay. The gospel, I'm making a lot of mistakes today. I guess I'm not really with it. That's saying something, because typically we know how with it I am. If I'm recognizing the fact that I'm not with it today, then that's really pathetic. You know what it was? I worked really hard today on a lot of projects, some writing projects, some bills I had to get paid, the upgrade of my phone. Lots of stuff was going on, so I'm a bit distracted. Here's what we're going to do. Let's look now at the first reading. It's from the book of Numbers, chapter 12, verses 1 through 13. Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses on the pretext of the marriage he had contracted with a Cushite woman. They complained, "Is it through Moses alone that the Lord speaks? Does he not speak through us also?" And the Lord heard this. Now Moses himself was by far the meekest man on the face of the earth. So at once the Lord said to Moses and Aaron and Miriam, Come out, you three, to the meeting tent. And the three of them went. Then the Lord came down in the column of cloud, and standing at the entrance of the tent, called Aaron and Miriam. When both came forward, he said, Now listen to the words of the Lord. Should there be a prophet among you, in visions will I reveal myself to him. In dreams will I speak to him. Not so with my servant Moses. Throughout my house he bears my trust. Face to face I speak to him, plainly and not in riddles. The presence of the Lord he beholds. Why then did you not fear to speak against my servant Moses? So angry was the Lord against them that when he departed, and the cloud withdrew from the tent, there was Miriam, a snow-white leper. When Aaron turned and saw her a leper, he said to Moses, Ah, my Lord, please do not charge us with this sin that we have foolishly committed. Let her not thus be like the stillborn babe that comes forth from its mother's womb, with its flesh half consumed. Then Moses cried to the Lord, Please, not this. Pray, heal her. Boy, lot going on. I bet Miriam, sorry she opened her mouth. Now, what we see happening here is a little jealousy, and we can all fall victim to this. We've all got to be careful about this. Why is it that, Lord, that you speak to him? Or why can't we be prophets? The Lord chooses who he wants to do his work. We all can do the Lord's work, but we all have different gifts. Moses was humble. We're told that in sacred scripture. Moses is a humble man. He's the meekest man on the face of the earth. God uses the people who are meek and humble to do his work. Once we start to feel privileged that God speaks through us and that he's using us, then we can have a problem. We certainly don't want to do that. We want to be really careful about starting to think too highly of ourselves because the Lord is doing great things through us. Remember, Jesus said, apart from me, you could do nothing. So if I'm accomplishing anything good in life, it's not because of me. It's because of the Lord. And it's really important to remember that, that I'm not the one who deserves the credit, that the Lord is the one who deserves the credit. Why Miriam and not Moses and not Aaron? Well, here's what happened. Miriam was turned into a leper. She was afflicted with leprosy first. And then, I mean, there's a couple different reasons. There, I've read some commentaries that said Miriam was mentioned first, that when it says Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses, so therefore Miriam must have been the instigator, which is a possibility. Also, another possibility that could certainly be is that once Miriam was turned into a leper, Aaron realized it and he said, we have sinned and we have foolishly committed this sin. Then, so certainly it's possible that his repentance was what saved him from being turned into a leper as well. But you'll notice Moses interceding on behalf of Miriam, and she will be healed eventually. I think there's a lesson here for us. Let's not let our head begin to swell if we become very close to the Lord, if our faith is starting to grow, if we are learning things that we never knew before. We want to be careful that we don't start looking down on other people. It's a very real danger. It's something that can happen. As we start to grow in our faith, we can sometimes feel a little cocky about it. Be careful that that doesn't happen. Remember that everything you have is a gift. Everything that you have is a gift from the Lord. And it's not because of anything you did. And that means we have to keep our humility, or pride, I should say, in check. But the important thing to do when we mess up, just as Aaron did, repent, say you're sorry, go to confession. These are steps that we should take if and when we do sin. The responsorial psalm is a classic. Be merciful, O Lord, for we have sinned. It's from Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God, in your goodness. In the greatness of your compassion, wipe out my offense. Thoroughly wash me from my guilt, and of my sin cleanse me. For I acknowledge my offense, and my sin is before me always. Against you only have I sinned, and done what is evil in your sight, that you may be justified in your sentence, vindicated when you condemn. Indeed, in guilt was I born, and in sin my mother conceived me. A clean heart create for me, O God, and a steadfast spirit renew within me. Cast me not off from your presence, and your Holy Spirit take not from me. The message for us is when we do sin, we have to say we're sorry. The best way to do that is through the sacrament of confession. And that the Lord, in his mercy, will forgive us. But we need to express our sorrow before we get receive that forgiveness. The gospel, it's a classic, Matthew 14, verses 22 through 36. And again, I talk about it often. Let's just read it, and I'll chat a little bit about it when we're finished. Jesus made the disciples get into a boat and precede him to the other side of the sea, while he dismissed the crowds. After doing so, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When it was evening, he was there alone. Meanwhile, the boat, already a few miles offshore, was being tossed about by the waves, for the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, he came toward them, walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. "It is a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. At once Jesus spoke to them, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter said to him in reply, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." Peter got out of the boat and began to walk on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw how strong the wind was, he became frightened. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And they got into the boat, and the wind died down. Those who were in the boat did him homage, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." After making the crossing, they came to land at Gennesaret. When the men of that place recognized him, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought to him all those who were sick, and begged him that they might touch only the tassel on his cloak. And as many as touched it were healed. That is one of my favorite gospel passages. That's the classic reminder to us that if we take our eyes off of Jesus, we are going to start to sink, especially when we are surrounded with many problems and difficulties. That's part of the problem. That we got to be really careful about that. If we keep our eye on Jesus, on the other hand, everything will work out. But maintaining that focus is not necessarily the easiest thing in the world. But if we have that relationship with our Lord, if we speak to him every day, if we're in contact with him, then we're going to be okay and it will work out. This is a great gospel to use when it comes to discerning God's will, because if you notice what happened, Peter asked the Lord, "Lord, if it is you, tell me to come to you." He was discerning. "Lord, is this really you? I'm feeling compelled to step out of the boat." Remember, Peter's a fisherman. This is not a typical thing for him to do. But he felt called to step out of the boat. And he asked the Lord, "If it's really you calling me, tell me and I'll come." And Jesus said, "Come." Peter took the step out and he was walking on the water until he started focusing more on the waves crashing down around him. And when that happened, he took his eyes off of Jesus and he began to sink. But he had the presence of mind, and this is really good, to ask for help and to cry out to the Lord to save him, which Jesus did. And I think that's a lesson for each of us. Jesus obviously reprimanded Peter for his lack of faith, and that was necessary because Jesus needs to tell us things like that so that we can understand. And listen, this message is directed to each of us. When we open up the Bible and we let the Lord speak to us, he's speaking directly to you and to me. And the message for us is oftentimes we don't trust him. Our faith is weak, even though he has bailed us out on numerous occasions. We don't trust him. So what can we do? What we need to do is learn to trust him more. Or try to trust him more. By asking him to help us, and by looking back at all the many things that he's done over the course of our lives. And he's done some really, really great things. So it's important for us to continue that relationship and continue to have that trust in our Lord. And as we grow closer to him, as we watch him do more and more things in our lives, that trust, that faith will grow. And then it's not going to be as big of a deal when we step out in faith. A lot of times the Lord waits for us to take that first step before he'll give us the next step, or before he acts. You know, he'll wait for us to make the first move and then he'll do something. It's hard to take that first step. But I strongly recommend that you give it a try in your life. You've got something that you are struggling with, I'm sure, or that you may have in the near future, some decision you have to make, something you feel called to do but you're a little nervous about. Take that first step. Of course, after prayer, just don't rush into it, but take that first step and you're going to see that the Lord will be there for you. But you just have to let him work. You have to let him work. You have to give him a chance, because if you never give him a chance, you can block him from doing so many great things in your life. Okay, so that's the message there. If you have questions, please email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. Again, that's one of my favorite gospels. I use that when I speak, especially when I do my talks about overcoming anxiety, because a big source of fear in our lives is stepping out into the unknown, which is what Peter was doing. It was a pretty risky thing to do, because he knew that he shouldn't be able to walk on water, but yet he felt this call to do it. And he did the right thing. He asked the Lord, "Lord, if it's you, let me know, and I'll do it." He did, but then Peter began to panic anyway. And it's a reminder that just because we panic doesn't mean that it's all over. The Lord's still going to help us. He will still help us. That's because he loves us so much. Okay, so today is Tuesday. So we're going to look at The Imitation of Christ by Thomas A. Kempis, as we do every Tuesday. This is a great book, spiritual masterpiece, probably next to the Bible, one of the favorite books of the saints. I mean, it's just a classic book. The version I use is from the Catholic Book Publishing Company. It's a nice little hardback. It probably costs under $10. Mine says $8.50, but I bought it a few years ago. You can buy this from Amazon. You can get it, I believe, from EWTN Religious Catalog. And it is a very, very helpful book, very good spiritual book. The chapters are very small, concise, but they have a great message. Now, today we're going to talk about, we're in chapter 12 of book 1. The book itself is divided up into book 1, book 2, book 3, and book 4. So it's divided into four books. The book itself is divided into four books. This is chapter 12 of book 1. On the advantage of not having everything our own way. Boy, don't we get frustrated when things don't go our own way? We get frustrated. We get really upset. We get unhappy because we like things to go our way. It makes life a lot easier, doesn't it? But it's not necessarily what's best for us. Now, let's listen to some of these things and we'll chat about it. It is good that everything is not always to our liking, for adversity makes people look into their hearts in order to realize that they are exiles and must not put their hopes in any worldly thing. I'm going to repeat that again because I think that is such an incredible message for us to listen to. It is good that everything is not always to our liking, for adversity makes people look into their hearts in order to realize that they are exiles and must not put their hopes in any worldly thing. You and I often base our happiness on what goes on around us. If things work out our way, we're happy. If they don't, then we're not happy. That can be a problem. That could be a problem, and that is something that we can certainly look to work on. And it certainly behooves us to work on that, because we want our happiness to come from within, not from without. Wherever we are, whatever is happening to us, that's God's will for us. If we are not happy doing God's will or letting God's will play out in our lives, we will never be happy. The secret to happiness is to learn to be happy where we are. That is a process, so don't panic if you're not there. I'm not there either, but I'm working on it. And the way we work on that is we get to know Jesus Christ. We become friends with him. We read about him in the gospel. We speak to him. We receive him in the Eucharist. We spend time in his real presence, at adoration. We read scripture. You know, these are things that we do in order to grow closer to Christ. And the closer we grow to him, the more it's possible for us to be happy no matter what happens to us. We ask for the grace to be happy no matter what happens. We talked about this before, this spiritual indifference. St. Ignatius of Loyola talks about it in his spiritual exercises. It's a popular spiritual concept because we realize that whatever happens is God's will. All right, it is good for us to run into opposition and to have others think badly of us, even when our intentions are good. For these things help us to be humble and rid us of pride. Then we seek God more earnestly. Who alone knows our inmost self when outwardly we are ignored and discredited by others? Do you ever have somebody reject you or misinterpret something you did? It's very painful, isn't it? And who do we turn to? Hopefully, when that happens, we turn to the Lord. And if we look at his life, if we look at the life of Christ, Jesus was constantly experiencing the same thing in his life. People misinterpreted him. People accused him. People didn't listen to him. People rejected him. And ultimately, they killed him. So he gets it. He understands. Therefore, people should rely so entirely on God that they have no need to look for human consolations when adversity comes. When people of good disposition are afflicted or tempted or distracted by evil thoughts, then they understand the need they have of God and that without him they can do nothing. And so you see, that's important. Even though it's not fun to have things not go your way, to have people do things to you that are painful, I mean, it's going to happen. That's a part of life. It can really paralyze us, though, if we're not careful. Did you ever have somebody say something or do something to you and you just repeatedly think of the offense in your head? It's almost like you push the play button and rewind and play and rewind and play and just keep playing it over and over and over in your head. And you get more angry, you get more upset, you get more hurt because you're reliving it. It's as if they're hurting you time after time after time again. We can't do that. We have to stop that because it's going to kill us. What we need to do is pray for the person, forgive them, ask the Lord to bless them. These are all, I know it's not easy, but these are all things that we're called to do. And these are the things that will help us to overcome these negative feelings. When we grieve, we sigh and pray because of the miseries we endure. They grow weary of this life and long for death in order to be with Christ, their Lord. It will also be clear to us that there is neither perfect peace nor security in this world. Now, Thomas A. Kempis, and that's it for the chapter. Again, I said that in the beginning, these are short chapters. They really are. As we turn to the Lord in times of need, when things happen to us, when we get rejected, we grow closer to him because we realize that he will never reject us. He will never change. He'll always be there for us. And that's a guarantee. But yet anything else in life is not guaranteed. We're not guaranteed that our friends will always be there for us. We're not guaranteed that things will always go our way, that people will never reject us. We're not guaranteed that that's going to happen. But we are guaranteed that the Lord is faithful and that he won't ever lead us astray. If we believe that anything that happens to us is for our good, and that's the truth, I mean, that's really what our church teaches, then we're going to understand why even the bad things, in our mind, the bad things can draw us closer to the Lord. These things that draw us closer to the Lord, even though they seem bad, they're really good. And, you know, that's not something that comes naturally to us. That's a process that we have to go through. But it's an important process. It's an important process because it can help us to grow closer and closer to our Lord. Well, we are just about out of time. I mean, lots of good stuff today on the program. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you'll be here with me tomorrow. Tomorrow's Wednesday, so we'll take a look at the book, My Daily Bread, as we do each Wednesday, give you a lesson from Father Anthony Payone. Remember that I definitely need some additional financial contributions to keep going forward with the program. So if you're able to help me, followingthetruth.com is the place to go. Hope to be able to join you, or hope you could join me on the Sunrise Morning Show tomorrow morning. And if not, I will be back here, God willing, at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Hope you can be there. Have a wonderful night. God bless you, and thanks for stopping by.